We'll move to item D. Commission and director will discuss recent activities and items of interest. The first one is an update on the Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I presume you'd be looking to staff to go over this. And based on the changes that we just talked about, I just wanted to say that in looking at the audio, listening to the audio record and looking over my talking points when we went through this, the reason that I made a recommendation that there not be regular updates to the public during open session was twofold. First, I thought that meager, small updates that are only just a small portion of the negotiations can typically be a little unsatisfying to the public and can just raise other questions and concerns and thus be perceived as somewhat of a negative. I think that if there are also often and regular open session discussions of the progress of the negotiations, that it could inhibit and compromise the negotiations with co-managers. If they know there will be monthly or weekly reports at every commission conference call or in-person meeting. And so that's why I thought it was important to implement this portion of the recommendation. We communicate through the public primarily through our Puget Sound Advisory Body process, and there are significant conclusionary or pre-conclusionary type points in the negotiations. So this is on the agenda already, and so I think we should go forward with it. But I just wanted to say that I do think it's awkward to come up with these kind of updates on almost a weekly basis for those reasons. And I think as we move to February, where this is on the agenda again, that I think we ought to strike it from the agenda. And again, in no way inhibit the regular routine reports during closed session to the commission under the auspices of the ongoing litigation of U.S. v. Washington.
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. Any comments or questions? Hearing none. I assume Ron Warren, are you going to, or Kyle, are you going to take the lead on the update on the Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan?
Vice Chair Carpenter, this is Ron Warren. I'd like to say a few things and provide an update if I can.
Please.
Along the update, I'll try to stay within that communication flow that Commissioner McIsaac has offered. We were able to go back and talk to our co-managers this week and to advise them that we had two separate tasks that we received guidance on. One was the fact that we need to separate the current Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan from the development of the 2018 fishery management objective processes. So there will be some overlap, but our guidance was to start with 2017, and where agreement could be reached and all parties were in agreement, we could move forward. But to have that initial conversation, that was received quite well, as well as the plan itself currently in an insufficient state from NOAA Fisheries. We now have a target date of August of 2018 to complete that for sufficiency for the 18-month NEPA process for NOAA to take that plan through. So I think both of those are very positive steps that we achieved with co-managers on Tuesday. We were also tasked with speaking about additional non-fishing related conservation measures to properly address the full spectrum of the problem and introduce mitigating factors that should be considered at some point in the negotiations. We've done that as well. That too was received with a willingness to have those conversations with the door open, and we have Since that, we've scheduled some additional time to spend with some tribes to talk about that. We were also tasked with putting out a news release letting the public know that the commission was providing direction to seek a somewhat better balance between fishing and non-fishing conservation measures. And we were asked to do that, or tried to do that, in a positive manner. With the aid of our public affairs staff and Chair Smith, a positive news release went out and has been taken in a positive way by the public in general. We were also asked to convene the Puget Sound Advisory Body at a time when developing details can be shared in a way that does not compromise negotiations or the confidentiality required during those negotiations, and using this as a primary vehicle to communicate with the public on that matter. We are currently planning when and how this can be done to achieve a positive communication intent that is desired. So we will be in further discussion with you about how we're going to plan to do that. So those are just a few positive outcomes of the direction that you've given us. While these points are positive, I don't want to create an impression that we currently expect to achieve all the goals the Commission put forward on January 23rd. We have just opened the door to further discussions, and we will do our best as we can move forward in the negotiations. And I would say that any questions that may come may be of a detail that are best handled in executive session.
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Commissioner Thorburn. I have a question and a comment.
Please. Okay.
Ron, could you just detail the schedule? I think there were some initial thoughts that further work on the Puget Sound Chinook Salmon Management Plan would be on hold through the next couple of months as North of Falcon progresses. And is that still the plan, or will there be some negotiations going on during the next couple of months? I also am curious, it will continue, the negotiations on the Puget Sound Management Plan will continue as court mediation, correct? And then I have a comment after. Well, actually, I'll make my comment because you may have something to say about that. I was interested to see in one of the articles that we receive, news service, that the Stillaquamish tribe received a very large grant from the Salmon Recovery Funding Board. $500,000 for habitat work, probably one of the largest grants out of this funding cycle. I don't know if other commissioners noticed that, since habitat is such a huge piece of the conversation regarding the Stillaquamish fish population. That's all I have to say. So, Ron, my questions?
Vice Chair Carpenter, Commissioner Thorburn, thank you very much for the comments and questions. Yes, we are going to continue to work on the Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan where we can through the North Falcon process, but the bulk of that, I think, will come on the heels of the North Falcon process and a targeted deadline for completion or sufficiency is targeted for August of 2018. I hope that that is early in August, but again, that's my optimistic perception of what I think we can accomplish, and piggyback some of the already hard work done by tribal staff and state staff to get us to this point. Relative to your comments about the grant opportunity for the Stillaquamish, we recently met with them and had good conversations. I know that it's typically as those requests come forward that for recovery purposes in Puget Sound from the recovery plan that was done back in the early 2000s through a shared strategy perspective, that those tally only less than 10% of the need to address full consideration for salmon recovery in the habitat realm of what we need to enhance the wild populations that will better hatchery operations and offer additional opportunity. So just share that as a side. But I too was encouraged that they received the grant, and they were as well as when we met with them earlier this week.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on that item? Okay, thank you. We'll now move to the February 16 conference call agenda discussion. Tammy, do you have any agenda items listed currently, or are you seeking that?
No, there are already two items on it. There's two decisions needed, and I just wondered if there was anything others wanted to add. There's a Robinson Canyon restoration decision, and then a coastal, you'll be hearing about the coastal commercial ocean shrimp LED lights at the meeting this next week, and then the decision would be slated for that conference call. So it was just if anybody had anything to add.
How late could we add something and still get it out for public awareness?
At least a week prior would be good.
Week prior? Okay. Do any commissioners have any items they want to bring up currently?
Yes, Mr. Vice Chair. I have two issues, and the first is pertaining to the appointment of the acting director.
Excuse me just a second, Roger. He's asking if we have anything else to add to the February 16th agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on and pass the baton to Chair Smith. He has a couple of items he stated.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Last Monday, I joined Commissioner Baker down in the NRB and had a really good discussion with a lot of staff members and the executive management team, and just to be down there to listen to concerns about the transition and next steps forward. And I think the next steps forward are the proactive part of the discussion. We did have a good discussion with Deputy Director Storr, and he did indicate, as we had talked about previously in a call, that Director Unsworth said that Deputy Director Storr would be willing to step into the acting position. That was confirmed with Commissioner Baker and myself, but we could not make a decision upon ourselves. That has to be done in an open meeting such as we're doing now. So I would like to bring that forward for the appointment of Deputy Director Storr as the acting director as we undertake the search. So I just throw that out. And Commissioner Baker, did you have any follow-up?
Thank you, Chair Smith. I'd like to just say that it was a great opportunity to go up and see the staff work in a way that I haven't done before. Chair Smith and I attended an executive management team meeting, which was, I've heard about executive management team meetings, certainly haven't been to one. It was a very impressive gathering where there's probably 20 people in the room, and they went around and talked about things of importance to them. Tragically, one of the prime topics was a helicopter crash, but I was real impressed to see the sharing of information and who was in the room. We did talk to Joe about whether he'd be willing to serve as the acting director until a new director is selected, and he did agree, and I think that everything I've heard from all of us is that stability and confidence in our agency is real important right now. That seems to be the natural transition, and so I'd just like to throw my support into that decision.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. Commissioner Smith, was am I able to take your comments as a motion, or was
it just
a comment?
I could rephrase that as a motion to appoint Deputy Director Storrs, the acting director of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission, if that clarifies it better.
Hearing no objections. Commissioner Smith?
This is Commissioner Thorburn. I have a question, if I may.
Mr. Thorburn.
So we've used the term acting, and we've used the term interim. And I thought some sort of distinction was being made, although I've never really distinguished those positions, particularly in the past. Is it one and the same?
Well,
I think we'll use the term acting for clarification. Do you agree with that, Chair Smith?
Yeah, my experience federally, it's always been acting. I've held that title a couple times in my life, but it's. I view them as interchangeable, so I don't. There's no difference in my mind when I say it, but I'll stick just with acting.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Yes, Commissioner Baker.
I had the same question as Commissioner Thorburn when we were up there on Monday, whether there was a difference between acting, whether there was any difference at all between the terms. And so I think Fred and I asked Bill Freimeyer that question. Bill Freimeyer's on the phone. Just to be clear, maybe he could let everyone know what he told us.
Councilor Freimeyer.
Yeah, thank you. This is Bill Freimeyer here in the Natural Resources Building. I think that I can't remember exactly what I said at that time, but I do think that it can be the commission's direction, and that if you intend acting to work as the time between when the director service terminates, which I understand is the end of the day on February 7th, then you could by motion move to appoint Joe Storr as acting until such time as you appoint a new permanent director.
That's what I understood, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Freimeyer.
Mr. Vice Chairman?
Yeah, Commissioner McKay.
Commissioner? Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I thought I heard you, Mr. Vice Chairman, about ready to call for the question. So procedurally, let me just offer a second to the motion and speak in favor of this appointment of Mr. Storr to the interim director, the acting director, for the period of time in question, this transitional period. I agree completely with Commissioner Baker that he can bring the kind of stability and confidence to this position that we're going to need over the course of the next 5 months or so. I might also ask that he tell the department's excellent staff that we've got confidence in them to do the best they can over this five-month period and to strive to create as positive an image as possible with the public during a period that can often be characterized as difficult. But I'm sure our excellent staff can make that better than difficult. And lastly, as Joe assembles his transition team for the next 5 months, there might be some other ideas he might want to consider, in particular with reference to the North of Falcon and the Chinook RMP negotiations. But I'll hold those thoughts for an appropriate time. And again, I'm speaking in favor of Mr. Storr and looking forward to working with him if he can survive this vote.
Thank you, Commissioner McKenzie. Tammy, do we have a formal, we have a second, but do we have a formal motion from Chair Smith?
Yes, he made a formal motion to appoint Deputy Director great. Storr as the acting director.
Right.
I want to make sure you had the language the way you wanted it. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Hearing no other questions or comments, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same. Motion carries. Thank you all.
And I have another follow-up item.
Yeah, Chair Smith.
This relates to the next step, which is the recruitment process. I was under the assumption, just given my limited experience of the last recruitment, that we had to retain an external search firm to undertake the search. I was informed Monday that that was not the case, that we can do this internally. Commissioner Baker and I talked amongst ourselves. We talked with Susan, who I guess you're in the room there as well, our new HR director, and as well with Deputy Director Storr. My observation after that discussion was that I would feel more comfortable handling this search internally with our competent HR department than externally. My reasons are severalfold. One is basic economics. To retain a search firm is not a cheap undertaking, so there is a cost factor involved. Two, the communication that I experienced as a member of the commission during the last search with the search firm was not always up to par. I mean, there was not always good open lines of communication. We had one more line or one more level in there from the department to the external firm. And so I didn't feel like I was as much part of that search as I would have liked to have been. And three, my experience was that the search firm, I guess I was a little underwhelmed by the results and how it was conducted in that. So looking at that and then looking at our capacity to do this internally, I would recommend that we conduct an internal search. I think the line of communication would be much more direct. We could have, you know, briefings when we're down there for commission meetings. We have access to Susan, who's right around the corner from the deputy director's office. So I put that forward as my recommendation, and I would pass that off to you, Commissioner Baker, for your thoughts.
I totally agree with you, Chair Smith. And I have another factor to consider, which is that this commission is always reestablishing itself, and I think that we should do what the statute says, and we should hire the executive director. That will mean a bit more work for all of us, and we have shown that we're up to the challenge. We have a brand new HR director who is probably a bit nervous about this undertaking, but if we do it correctly and take in the input of all of the commissioners, I think that we can allay any concerns she might have. We also have very competent staff of our own, Tammy, who can help her. And so I think this helps with our, I think this is a very, very important decision that we are embarking on, and we can do it in a way that shows that we are an engaged commission and also that we will own the results. And so for those reasons, I like the fact that I like the idea of doing it internally as well. The cost savings is a pretty big consideration for me. When Chair Smith talks about it being a pricey undertaking, it's a very pricey undertaking to hire an external, to hire a headhunter, and I don't think that we need to do that. So I agree.
Yeah,
this is Commissioner Carpenter. I just want to weigh in on this, as I was involved in this 3.5 years ago, and I fully support what Chair Smith and Commissioner Baker are recommending. I think I won't embellish what they said. I agree. I think we can do at least a good a job, and I think potentially a better job than an outside entity. So I'm on board with that.
And if I could have one other comment, Vice Chair?
Chair Smith.
Yeah.
Yep.
What Commissioner Baker said, that we have a role to play in this, is absolutely true. We do have, from 3 years ago, the boilerplate stuff is there. And who we reached out to, what professional organizations. So I think right out of the gate, it would be beneficial for us, maybe even as early as next week, to see the list, who we reached out to, where we placed ads, and what organizations we contacted. And then, and then each of us go into our own minds and see, are there other organizations that we think, or from our professional experiences, that we could add to that to increase the outreach capacity, as well as individuals that we know that we could then float the name to our HR people. But I think that sort of communication from us and that thought, those thoughts to the HR right down the hall from the vice or deputy director's office could be very smooth and open.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes.
This is Joe Storr.
Mr. Keeney? Oh, Joe, I'm sorry. Yeah, Joe Storr, please.
Just a couple of thoughts on this particular topic. I want to come back and address the acting director piece in a minute, but I think, I mean, we're here to support you in whatever decision that you make, and we'll work hard to do everything necessary to assure you have the, you know, the best choices out there. I'd like to come and talk to you at the workshop next Thursday about what that process might look like. You know, once you give us some direction here, where we think it would be best to have some pretty significant involvement by the commission, whether that's, you know, whether that's the full commission or you delegate to some smaller group, more active role, and just give you a sense of timing and workload that would be involved as we, you know, project a path forward here.
This is Commissioner Thorburn. Could I present perhaps a little bit different perspective than we've heard from the three commissioners?
Before we do that, I'd like to find out from Councilor Freymeyer on this particular point. Do we need a motion in your mind to move forward with this conceptually?
This is Bill Freymeyer. I'm not sure exactly which question you're answering or which question you might want a motion for. It may be, I understand the position of three commissioners, and I understand Commissioner Thorburn would like to talk about maybe a different view. And I also heard the deputy director request some time at the workshop next Thursday to talk about the recruitment process as a whole.
Well, I was talking about the recommendation, if you will, by Chair Smith and Commissioner Baker primarily, but you can advise us on that accordingly, Bill. In the meantime, Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you. So as we went through our processes, it struck me that we perhaps were not really clear last go-around in the performance expectations of the director who we were hiring, and it I think it would be very constructive for us to have some really good conversation about what we want as we move forward for the leadership of this organization in terms of clear performance expectations. I think that if we did that kind of homework and provided it to a search organization, understanding, you know, that cost is clearly a concern, that it might overcome some of the difficulties that we had. And also, I thought I understood that we weren't obligated to go back to that particular search organization. I sort of think that using an external organization give the appearance of greater transparency, which is certainly something that we're struggling with now, especially since I think we can expect to have some strong internal candidates. But we do want to look, I think, nationwide at this really important time and transition for the agency. If our internal candidates rise to the top we do select an internal candidate, I would think that using a search organization, again, getting to that notion of transparency, would strengthen that selection and give the message to our public, our constituents, our partners, that we really have selected the best of the best, even though it was an internal candidate. So I think just given the struggles that we're having with questions about transparency, that we shouldn't take the idea of an external search organization off the table.
Vice Chair, this is Commissioner Caney.
Chair Smith and then Commissioner Keeney.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that Commissioner Thornburg said. My thought was also we would provide that what the expectations to whomever. So whether that expectation is internal or external, we would go through the performance, what we expect. And I would like to have that done as soon as possible, because my goal is to get the process underway as soon as possible. We have the information from 3 years ago, so if that could be shared with all of us next week, and then we could take a period of time to add or subtract from that. On the transparency side, I think it's six of one, half dozen the other. I think we would do a national search. I mean, anyhow, internally, if some people want to perceive that because we're using our staff, that it means it's only internal, I don't know. That's maybe something we couldn't overcome anyhow. But okay, that's my two cents.
Commissioner Keeney.
Yeah, I respectfully, I think, disagree, Kim, with them going outside. And that's based on, I went through this before in the last hiring, and I tend to agree with Commissioner Smith on this, is that, well, first off, it's expensive. I think we aren't going to get any better pool of folks going through external search versus internal. As long as HR is aware of the responsibility and takes it on, I'm sure they'll do a national search. This is what it's required. This is a high-level position that you're going to have people in-house apply. You're going to have people from, you know, Florida or wherever else, long ways away, apply. Even so, because of its nature of the position, and it's hard to find those candidates. So you're not going to be probably looking at a pool of 50. You know, it's much, much smaller than that. And I think the money savings, the HR, if they're willing to do this, I'm sure they'll do a good job. And as long as we maintain our own sense of transparency and put out, you know, where we're at, what, you know, whatever's legal to put out at any given time, you'll see a good pool of candidates. And I would suggest we go with HR doing it if they're up for doing that.
And actually, to add to that, Commissioner Keeney, we're the nine people that have to make the decision anyway.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, any other comments?
Yeah, Commissioner Kehoe here.
Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I don't think we need to make the decision today, or I would ask that we wait until we're all together at the work session. I want to hear kind of like what Joe mentioned, a presentation or some more information for us to consider as a body. I must say I am sensitive to the issues about transparency that Kim brought up. There's kind of pros and cons, I guess, on both sides. I would like to know more about HR's kind of workload and whether they're comfortable in taking undertaking this big task, this important task, and whether they feel it would be helpful to have someone outside. So I want to hear everything hopefully next week before we make a decision.
Any additional comments?
I mean, Mr. Vice Chair, this is Joe. You know, we'd be happy, as I mentioned, to come to the commission and the open workshop and talk about the process forward, talk about, again, where we think it'd be most advantageous to have the commission deeply involved, and I'd like to hear your thoughts about whether you want to delegate some smaller working group to get into almost the day-to-day steps that we're going to have to take here. But we could present a path forward that includes a recruiter and one that doesn't, and try to set up a discussion about pros and cons. I mean, the flip side of that is if commission's ready to give us some unified direction, we can take that today and go forward. It's up to you.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah, Chair Smith.
I think, Joe, your two points about the internal process of the commission and a subset, we would do that next week. That's what I was going to conclude. Those two points, we're going to pick those up next week when we're all together.
Okay. Any other, Mr. Baker?
If we choose to postpone this decision until we're all together, that's fine with me. One thing I would ask, though, regarding transparency, is that we all take a minute and read a document that Bill Freiermeyer sent us all, which is surprisingly right on point. It's a multi-page document that's called Washington State Open Public Meetings Act of Guidance, and the subheading is on frequently asked questions about processes to fill vacant positions by public agency governing boards, and some suggested practice tips. The thing that continues to surprise me is how serious we are about transparency and about basically how bound we are by the statute and then the advice from our attorneys general. We, just to address Commissioner Thorburn's point, if we take this on, it's going to have to be pretty transparent. The statute and the policies are real clear about what we can do in executive session and what we can do and what we can't. And so I believe that the transparency issue is settled by state law. Regardless of how we do it, we will have to adhere to that. And so I don't think transparency is an issue. As a matter of fact, I think it would be less transparent if we went with a headhunter, because that person does a lot of the, well, what they'll do is prepare the recruitment at our, with our guidance, I hope. They will solicit and probably, if we use the same process we used last time, I understand that the headhunter went through and did the initial call of the resumes that were submitted, and then there was another call, and that's when the commission got involved. So that's not transparent. But we would still, if we choose to do this, we have a series of other questions that we have to answer. The first one being exactly Commissioner Thorburn's point. I think we need to work as a body in public to talk about what we're looking for. And that is homework that we would need to bring to a gathering sooner rather than later. I don't think what we're asking the HR person to do, Susan, who is sort of getting thrown into the frying pan here, is anything very different than a normal recruitment, because what we will be providing the guidance of what we're looking for. And then what we'll be doing is sending out a recruitment. After that, we'll have to figure out in public how we're going to function if we choose to do it internally. Those are all questions we can't go into an executive session to decide these processes. We have to do them fully transparently.
Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Joe.
Joe?
Yeah, one of the other issues that we'll have to talk about when we're together next week related to all of this is the confidentiality, non-confidentiality of the applicant as we go through the process. And as I recollect over the last couple of processes, that's something that took some time to think about. You know, as your applicants come forward and you're considering them, how much does the public know about each of them individually, who they are? How do you gather input on them in a way? How do you avoid having lobbying going on or public contact of candidates or, you know, all those kinds of things? So that'll be, you know, part of the sorting we're going to have to do related to transparency.
Yeah, and Mr. Vice Chair, Brad again?
Yes,
I agree with you, Joe, and I think, again, a debrief on what we went through 3 years ago would be beneficial both for a couple of us that were present and those of us that weren't. So I don't know who would be the best to do that, maybe Bill and you, but I would like to just go back and go through the timeline and how we did it then to refresh my memory so we can avoid some of the problems that arose.
Yeah, I think Bill, Susan, and I would be, you know, the team to pull that together for you.
Yeah, that would be beneficial.
Commissioner Baker, one more time.
Commissioner Baker.
There are a series of considerations that we will have to think about regardless of the way this comes out, whether we do it externally or internally. Confidentiality is a big one, and how we handle that will not change, particularly whether we do it internally or externally.
Right.
Well, to be continued on Thursday, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Comments or questions before we wrap this up?
I have one closing comment, if I could.
Yes, Chair Smith.
I think this is the last official meeting of us in which Director Unsworth is still the director. Am I right, Tammy?
That's correct.
Okay. And I just wanted to go on the record then for that purpose that I just wanted to thank Dr. Unsworth for his 3 years of really tireless service to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. It's been a pleasure to work with him. As we all know, it's not a difficult job, but I want to thank him for his dedication and his commitment to the department, and I know I speak for all of us in wishing him well in future endeavors.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Hearing no further comments, it is. I'm sorry, Commissioner Keeney, was that
no,
you?
This is Joe.
Joe Storm.
I wanted to just say a few things too. Just a couple minutes. One, to support Chair Smith's comments about the director and to thank him for the service that he provided to the citizens here. I also wanted to thank the commissioners and just say how honored I am to serve as the acting director. My goal is going to be to in the time that I'm here, to take care of some outstanding issues and try to build a strong foundation for the new director. I think we're poised in a lot of ways to make 2018 a really good year for the organization, so I'm excited about that. I'm assuming that this acting role, as somebody mentioned earlier, is probably going to go till the beginning of the next fiscal year, probably sometime around July 1st. And what I'd like to do is come into the commission next week and give you a sense. I don't know if it's a performance agreement or I'm open, but I'd like to just give you a sense of the 8 or 10 areas that I want to spend some time in, issues around making North of Falcon successful, and whatever I can do to support Ron and the team there. We've got a great team there, and integrate that with the Pacific Salmon Treaty. I've already had a conversation with Phil Anderson about how we might do more of that. We've got this huge effort around our budget proviso and looking for internal efficiencies while we're putting together some long-term funding ideas. We have a transition of our Wolf Advisory Group. We have a diversity initiative. These are examples of some of the areas I want to spend my personal time in during the 5 months or so I'm in this role. But I'd like to have a discussion with you about whether I'm on point or not. So I would plan to take a little bit of time next Thursday at the workshop to do that. I also want to let folks know that given this acting role, what I intend to do is appoint Amy Windrup to serve as, in my old position, as the acting deputy director for the next 5 months, which means that we'll need to look at how we back up Amy in Region 4. She knows the agency. She's a strong communicator. I think she'll make a great addition to the director's office team here. And I just wanted you to know that, and to know how strong I feel about trying to move the agency forward here, and I'll do the best I can. So thank you for the vote of confidence.
Joe, this is Commissioner Carpenter. I would very much like to thank you for your comments. I think they're most appropriate, and look forward to working with you in the future. So anyone else?
Yes, Commissioner Thorburn, just a question.
Mr. Thorburn.
And also, thank you very much, Joe. That was really encouraging. Just a question. I totally think that Amy Windrup is an outstanding recommendation for your choice. It's your decision. There's a lot going on in Region 4 right now that her skills have been really moving things forward. I hope that the backup is able to pick up the ball and do as well as Amy is doing.
Yeah, I think that is an issue that Amy and I have talked about a little bit. We've got some ideas about how to do that. And, you know, there's probably some transition time for her as she moves across into this new role. But I hear you, Commissioner.
Well, Brad, just so you know, Brad and I met with her yesterday, and it was an absolutely superb discussion. I think you would concur, huh, Brad?
Right, and we had had this in the books for a month or so to talk about regional issues. So we went through a whole host of the Region 4 issues, and not talking about her in her new role. But
right.
Yeah, I've interacted with her off and on, and a very pleasant, very engaging, and articulate professional.
Any additional comments before we bring the call to close?
This is Commissioner Graybill.
Commissioner Graybill.
I think it's important, given the priority of transparency on people's minds, that we issue a news release that follows up and gives some background on our decision on denying that petition. I think Kim Thorburn's comment that it would be irresponsible to make this move are important. And really, too, the petitioner said that we haven't made any efforts to move transparency forward. I think we should refer to the director's letter, the letter from Lorraine Loomis that states their objection to open the meetings, And however, that there would be a plenary meeting or plenary sessions that will be introduced. I think we also need to remind people that there are 27 public meetings that will take place around north of Falcon specifically. And also there is the early north of Falcon meeting that takes place on April 3rd in Linwood, which is an opportunity for the public to attend. I think we need to get a news release out that lets people know why the petition was denied. And primarily that is that the underlying aim of this would not be met by changing it to a rule, in that our co-managers continue to be reluctant to open the meetings to the public. I think it's important that we communicate our decision to the public with our reasoning behind it.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Bill Freymeyer, the normal pathway is to send a letter of response. So what are your thoughts on a news release?
I think that the commission should issue a written decision as you normally do. Tammy will help ensure that happens, and a news release in addition is something that is not really a legal purview. I think it's fine or not fine depending on what you want. So there are folks here who have been paying attention. So
this is Joe, Vice Chair. We can pull something like that together that coincides with the formal decision document.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, Larry, Brad, one more time.
Chair Smith.
Yeah, I think a news release. I think Commissioner Graybill is accurate in his statement, and also the news release that about your appointment, Joe. I think that should go out as well today.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we will do that.
Okay. Very good. Any other comments from anyone? Hearing none, I will move to close the conference call of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission on 10:06 a.m., February 2nd, 2018. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you for your help.